Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all? Nope, because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. Welcome to season two. Welcome to the new studio that my husband put together for me. So excited. So I'm going to try to do more podcast episodes on video. So it feels very weird to be looking at this eye in the camera. It feels very weird. And since I'm kind of a new podcaster, if you see me looking at my phone, it's where I store my notes. I usually write everything down in a book, but it's been a little chaotic today. So I only have it on my phone. So I'm not like checking Instagram and ignoring you. If you see me on my phone, I have my notes on my phone. Okay. Welcome back. Gosh, it was good to take a break and reset. And I was a little worried that the break would kind of stall my content creativity. And I was like, oh, like, what if I can't get back into it? Like, what if I don't? And I just have to tell you, like, this is such a passion of mine. And all of you guys who continually reach out and message and say that this podcast is helping, it's really what keeps me going. It's what motivates me to get on here and tell my story and bring guests on and have them tell their story and bring people on who are a lot smarter in the medical field and in the field of narcissism and coping skills, because I'm just a survivor. I am not a medical doctor, not a therapist, not even a counselor. I have a degree in education, and that really did not help me with narcissism or navigating my way through no contact. So it's good to be back. So, but I just found that during the time off, I just got so excited and I had so many wonderful ideas. So there's a lot of new things here at the Character House podcast. So number one, the website has been revamped. I still need to add some photos, but it is completely revamped. And what I really love is I really feel like the podcast has really, it's honing in on its mission. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm talking about many things, but so when you enter the website, the first thing is you'll find buttons to crisis lines, suicide lines. If you're needing help, if you're struggling in crisis, you'll find a line for that. And there's a foundation that I'm now going to be donating to. It's the Chronic Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Foundation. And, you know, I've said it before on the podcast, I'm learning with you guys. I'd never heard of chronic post-traumatic stress. And chronic post-traumatic stress, you can read about it. I've got links on my website and links in Instagram. But it really pertains to us who grew up with a toxic family, grew up with the overwhelming, suppressing emotional abuse of a narcissistic mother. And I was like, wow, like just another thing that kind of confirms where we are and what we've been through. And, you know, for so many years, we were told it's not that big of a deal. Get over it. You're fine. Suck it up. So it was really a blessing to see that there is a foundation that's recognizing that. So it was really beautiful. So website is up and running. I now have a stand store on Instagram, a couple new things there. The first new thing that I have is I have so many of you reaching out via email and DMs. And when I first said, hey, DM me, I'm here, I didn't feel as overwhelmed. And now I feel like I would love to actually sit just with you individually, plan a call. So that's what I have available now through the stand stores, that you can book a free 30-minute call with me. I call it I Need Advice Like Now. And it just helps to organize, and you can give me a little brief description about what you're struggling with, and we'll get on the phone, whether it's video or on the phone, old school style, and we'll just talk about what it is that you're going through. And, you know, for me, like, I couldn't relate to anybody. Nobody else was no contact with their family. Nobody else had a narcissistic mother. So while I had compassionate people in my life, I really couldn't talk about, or if you know, something came up in my life that I was like, okay, what the fuck do I do? Like, how do I navigate this? I wasn't really getting any solid advice from friends. And so I'm here as a friend. I get it. I am not a certified coach, certified mental health counselor. I am none of that. I am just a survivor. I am a mom on a mission. And I'm a friend who will be there for you when you don't know what to do. This is, though, I will preface and say, it's not if you are in crisis. If you are in crisis, if you are having suicidal ideations, if you're in crisis, this is not a call for you. But there are many options available for you, specifically 988, which is a crisis line. It's anonymous 24/7. And I've also linked a website where if you are outside of the United States, there is a crisis website where you can find crisis lines anywhere around the world. So I've also linked that. So that's the stand store, the call. I'm also going to be developing different ways that we can chat. If you're specifically struggling with something along this no contact journey, I'm going to be creating downloadable resources. You know, read this if you've just gone no contact. Read this if you're feeling like you want to reach back. There's still lots of things in development. And what else? So that was really what I did on the break. So really just honed in on the mission of this podcast and what what season two is going to look like. And so, yeah, so I'm excited about that. And so that brings me to, well, let me just say, first of all, it's my birthday. I don't know about you, but like I grew up in we grew up in a toxic family. We grew up with a narcissistic mother, if you did, narcissistic father, whatever. So my birthday is like, not every birthday was horrible. Do you feel me? Like there were some birthdays, like I had a birthday. I remember my 13th birthday party and it was fine. And so I remember like not every birthday was terrible, right? But again, and I've spoken about this last season on the podcast, you know, when you're younger, the memories with your narcissistic mother tend to be more glamorized and fine because of the fact that you're under her control. You are in her control. You're doing what you're having the kind of party she wants you to have. You have the friends there that she likes. You know, it's very controlled, but it's very subtly controlled. And one particular birthday I remember, obviously my birthday is the day after St. Patrick's Day. And one specific birthday year that I remember so vividly. So when I was in my 30s, I used to get together with a bunch of my girlfriends and we'd go down to South Beach and just rent a hotel room and just lay on the beach and go to a club and drink and just have fun. I mean, like we were just being, you know, fun. We just had fun. So it was the year that I met my ex-boyfriend, who my mother did not like. And it was like 4 days. It was like 4 days after I met him. And she had already blown up his Facebook Messenger. Like, where's my daughter? Like the night that we went out, where's my daughter? I don't like you. Like nuts, right? So she wanted to know if he was going to be there, even though I told her that it was just a girl's trip, that he wasn't going to be there, which again, who cares if he was going to be there? Like I was a grown ass woman. I think I was turning 36 that year, 35 that year, whatever it was, like way old to be under the thumb of what are you doing and reaching out to a guy I just met asking. It was bizarre. So that weekend was so fun. Like we stayed at the Ritz. I remember going out. I remember coming home and we eating chocolate chip cookies and milk. Like that was not a good idea. I ended up like throwing up in a waste basket. At the Ritz, not a good look, but we had so much fun. And on the way home, because it was St. Patrick's Day, yes, because my birthday, I guess, had been whatever it was. We came home on St. Patrick's Day. And when I got home, I came home to a surprise birthday party. And it was my brother, my sister-in-law, who hated me, and I did not have a good relationship with her. My cousins, my kids were there, not my cousins, my nephews, my kids were there. And of course my mom threw it. It was before she had kicked us out of the house. And I remember like still coming in a little tipsy. I hadn't driven home. I hadn't been doing drugs. I didn't come in out of my mind, like as an embarrassment to my kids, like none of that. So I remember going into my room and just sitting on my bed. And I remember her coming in like judging me with such disdain. And I remember my daughter, I need to ask my daughter if she remembers this, because I remember her being in the room kind of watching my, are you still drunk? Are you drunk? And I just remember like being at the Irish pub for St. Patty's Day and like just having so much fun. And I was on such a high, and then I come home and it was like, are you ready to celebrate your birthday like a lady now? You know what I mean? Like the way I want you to celebrate your birthday. And I remember just being like, all right, like I'll throw water in my face and pull myself together and celebrate my birthday. Wow, this is so much fun. And I remember thinking like, you're not doing any of this for me. This is all for you. This is not what I would want. This is not what I wanted. I mean, the only people that were there that I really wanted were my kids. Like, ugh. So, and that was the last birthday, actually, now that I think about it, that we spent together, because that was March and she kicked us out in October. Yeah, she kicked my kids and I out in October. So that's that. Before I get into the topic too, I have good news and I have bad news. So remember I told you guys that I was sending in my ancestry.com and I was going to find out my ancestry and, you know, my where I'm from, whatever. So the bad news is my family is still my family. The good news is that this podcast can continue and I can still be bringing you authentic topics and authentic content about toxic family. Okay. So that's the good news, right? I'm like, oh, it would really suck if like they really weren't related to me. But anyway, the funny thing was, so my entire life, I was always like the Italian side of me was always pushed and pushed and pushed. And you're more Italian because even though my mom is part Irish, you know, her dad was brought the Italian. My grandmother was Irish too. I don't know if she had a little Italian in her either, but her last name is pretty Irish. I'm not sure. But the only culture that was ever really pushed on me was Italian, like Italian, Italian, Italian. And so it's so interesting. I'll never forget. When I was talking to my husband, I'm like, yeah, I'm Italian. And he was just like, babe, your maiden name is, and you know, your maiden name is so Irish. He was like, are you sure you're all Italian? And this was a few years ago. And it literally didn't even occur to me that I wasn't all Italian, that my father wasn't Italian. He's not. He's totally Irish. But I find it interesting that that's the only culture that was pushed on me, because that's the culture my mom wanted me to know about. That's the culture my mom wanted me to resonate with. You know, I wasn't taught about being Irish. You know, I mean, on St. Patrick's Day, I was obviously, but I just like all of a sudden my eyes open. I was like, there's this whole, and I'm part German too. Like there's this whole like other side of me and my family that I was like, it was like kept from me because even her agenda down to my background and my history, it was all controlled. And I was just like, that was just crazy to me. So it's been fun to kind of research now and embrace like, you know, like my Irish roots and my German roots, and I've got like a little bit Italian, but so that's been interesting. So bringing me back to the topic today, I just wanted to kind of let you guys know what's new on the podcast, let you guys know where this podcast is heading, what my passion is. And, but one thing that I wanted to talk about, so my niece is in town and my daughter's spent the night last night. So we were watching this movie. She's like, let's watch this movie called The Florida Project. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but it is a seriously impactful movie. Like, I think it would impact me on the same level, even if I wasn't from Florida. But being from Florida, you know, the director captured it and filmed it so beautifully. And the kids did a lot of, improv. So it just basically showed them playing and what their life was like. And basically, the premise is hidden homelessness. And the single mom was, you know, doing the best that she could do. They were living in this motel room, this surrounded on the outskirts of Disney World. And that was their home because they were homeless. And I'd never heard the term hidden homelessness. And after I watched the movie, I was just kind of quiet and in awe a little bit. And my daughter's like, I knew that movie would hit you on a deep level. Not only watching, you know, the humidity and the way that they captured the Florida sounds and the way that they captured Orlando and so many sites that we've been to so many times. But, you know, this mom, I mean, the situation was messed up. So, I mean, spoiler alert, close your ears. I won't give too much so you guys can watch the movie, but basically this mom was doing the best that she could do. And she got involved with some illegal things to keep a roof over her daughter's head, who she loved. And what happened was, as I was watching the movie and as I was kind of recovering from watching the movie, like, I just realized how close that we were, how close that my kids and I were. And I was like, we were basically homeless. Like, my mom took a fucking gamble when she kicked my kids and I out of the house, when she handed us garbage bags and she's like, get the fuck out. She gambled. Like, we could have ended up in, you know, in a motel room with nothing, with, you know, like, thank God for my ex-boyfriend who turned out to be a narcissist, but like, she took a fucking gamble. And I know that's such a common theme amongst narcissistic parents is the discard. And when they discard you in the form of kicking you out, you know, I just look back and I think, man, like, we were so blessed. We were so blessed to be protected and have a roof over our heads. My daughter slept on the couch. She celebrated her 13th birthday on the couch because my boyfriend at the time had a roommate in one room and she didn't have her own room. And she was always just so happy and beautiful. And she says too, if you listen to our episode last season, you know, she didn't know that anything bad was happening, you know? And I think that I had almost normalized it too, that I really didn't fall into a pit of, wow, this is shitty. You kind of just carry on. You take it on the chin and you carry on, you know? And I just started looking for a job. Thank God my ex-boyfriend didn't make me pay rent, you know, and looked for a job. And at the time, my ex-husband wasn't paying his child support. I mean, we literally had nothing. And even that, like, even that one act of a parent discarding their child and her children, like, that's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. Why is that forgivable? And to think that I let her back in so many other times, like, just that alone, like, she wouldn't kick out her dogs and the puppies. She kicked out her daughter and her kids. And I know that that's happened to some of you out there. And that brings me to another passion that I really want to develop over this next year. As I was researching charities and foundations, there are so many beautiful charities and foundations, including, you know, the one that I discussed, the CPTSD Foundation. There are so many beautiful charities, but there's not a foundation or a charity specifically targeted to those who have either been discarded and kicked out by their narcissistic families, or maybe they have to stay because they have nowhere else to go. And I've gotten a lot of messages from young adults who are like, I can't leave yet. I don't have anything. I am completely dependent on my narcissistic parent, but it's killing me emotionally and mentally. But I don't know how to leave, and I can't leave. So one of my missions and one of my goals is to create a foundation that can help, that can maybe sponsor a family who has been kicked out, who doesn't have anything, connect them with resources, a scholarship fund where we can bless someone with a scholarship who could go to college, who maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to help moms or dads have connections to jobs, resources. I know when I was in Florida and I had nothing and I was working at the casino, you know, there are even programs that can help you pay your electric bill or, you know, they helped get me on food stamps. You know, they really, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a one place where, you know, we could help, or, you know, a facet of it where, you know, it's like we get donations for work clothes and we could, you know, bless the people and they can, you know, actually look good and go out on their on job interviews. And so my mind has been really, really going, and it's just in the infant stages right now. But that's what I would love to do, is really provide an umbrella that can help. And then just watching that movie, I was like, I need to do this. Like, this needs to happen. And back to like how, so when my mom kicked us out of the house, my brother basically turned his back on us, which I've spoken about before. But then when I reconciled with my mom, all of a sudden my brother's back in my life now too. Right. And so when I got married and, you know, they flew up to celebrate Thanksgiving, which I won't go into detail because whatever. And my brother said to my husband, I remember him putting his arm around him and he goes, "Oh man, you know, you really rescued my sister." And at first it pissed me off. No disrespect to my husband, because he did rescue me in so many ways. But by the time I met my husband, I was off of food stamps. I was moved back in my house. I was paying my bills. I had a job. My kids were thriving. Not that my kids weren't thriving, but we weren't struggling. We were finally at a place where we dug ourselves out of the hole. Pissed me off. I was like, he didn't rescue me. Like, I fucking rescued myself and my own children. And then I took it another step as I was thinking about telling you guys the story. And I'm like, so, okay, let's talk about rescue. So he rescued me. So you thought I was in need of rescue. So where the fuck were you? Where the fuck were you? So pissed me off on multiple levels. And again, like, just that alone is enough to go no contact. But why do we have to come up with a list of reasons to go no contact? Why? You know what I mean? And so that brings me to where my mind was going as I was thinking about kind of the topic that I would talk about on this first episode. And so really the topic is going to be the idea of pivoting. So when we think about pivoting, when we think about changing our mind, when we think about changing jobs, divorcing a spouse, breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or not wanting to be friends with somebody toxic anymore. You know, I feel like being raised by a narcissistic mother or father or in a toxic family, that's what was taught to us. We were taught you stay, you suck it up, you don't focus on yourself, you don't focus on what you want to do, what makes you happy, what brings you peace. It's the commitment, it's the loyalty, right? And I feel like we carry that mindset because it feels so weird to not be loyal. It still feels weird to not be loyal along this no contact journey. But I also feel like it carries over into other aspects of our life. You know, for example, when I stopped teaching to become a stay-at-home mom, like I beat myself up. Like, am I failing? Like, I went to a college that, yeah, I got my education, but I would never even think about transferring. That would be quitting. That would be giving up, you know? And then, you know, even down, let's talk about college. Like, I feel so sorry for this group of young adults who are in college right now. And they're told that they need to not only pick the college that's going to make them happy for the next 4 years. But when they get to that college, they need to stay at that college because that's the commitment you made. And even if they don't have a program that you like or people that you like, you just fucking stay there because that's what you committed to, right? And so then over the next 4 years, you're just supposed to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. Like, I'm sorry, do you know how many versions of myself that I've been since my 20s? And I used to feel guilty for that. Have you guys ever felt guilty for evolving, for changing? And I feel like, again, I hate to blame everything on my toxic family. maybe not everything came from them. I think a lot comes from society and society's perception and society's narrative of commitment. You know, you stay, honor, loyalty. And I believe in all that. I believe that you should be a woman or a man word, but I also believe that you should be allowed to change your mind. You should be allowed to change your mind about your job. You might be uncomfortable for a little bit. You might need to do things that make you uncomfortable to get to the place of stability. I believe in changing your mind. If you think you're married to the wrong person, you're allowed to change your mind. If you are friends with a bitch or someone who's treating you like shit, you should be allowed to change your mind. You should be allowed to do something that makes you happy, you know, try something new. And so I feel like in society, and then I feel like it pours over too into when you go no contact with your toxic family. Like, it's like, oh, you didn't stay and suck it up. No, I didn't. You know, think about it. Like, it's not okay. You should be okay. And I always think this really hit me too. This concept hit me when I was going through my divorce and I was best friends with everyone at the church and they all turned their backs on me because I was getting a divorce. And I believe now that my mom started the rumor that I was having an affair. I believe she started that rumor. And anyway, all of my best friends in the church were no longer around. They all left. They all stopped being my friend. Yeah, who would have known that the church girls are the mean girls? Yeah, fun time. So I had nobody and I had to reinvent myself. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I could have nobody right now, or I could conform. I could go back to my husband, not leave. You know, just go back to the quiet, peaceful life, keep my mouth shut, be unhappy. Or I could do and go where I know my heart is leading, even if I'm all alone. And I remember thinking, I remember this thought went through my head. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. Because at the end of my life, if I spend it making everyone happy, if I spend it keeping people in my life that are not matching my energy, if I spend it keeping family in my life that are not matching my energy, do you think at the end of my life, I'm going to be greeted with fireworks and an award of nobility for being loyal and keeping people in my life that didn't serve me? Like, no, you're not going to get a medal at the end of your life for staying in a relationship that doesn't serve you, staying with a friend that doesn't serve you, staying with toxic family that doesn't serve you, staying in a job that doesn't serve you. So I feel like that whole narrative needs to change and, you know, pivot with responsibility, obviously. But I just feel like I remember feeling guilty about even changing things about myself, you know? And I feel like that does come from our narcissistic parents, because if we focus on ourselves, if we focus on what we want, if we listen to our own thoughts, if we listen to our own heart and our own gut, well, then that might lead us away from them. And they sure as shit don't want that. So from a very young age, we're tunnel visioned into this is how you think, this is what you do. And so, yeah, just a reminder, friends, do what you need to do in your life, because you're not going to get a medal of nobility at the end of your life. So what else did I want to talk about? Let me go see. I don't want to make sure I'm not missing anything. I pretty much mentioned it all. The one thing I forgot to mention is Character Outs is going to have merch. So I'll be revealing that on Instagram and links to my Stan store, but I opened up an Etsy store. So you can go ahead on Etsy and follow Character Outs podcast shop to kind of keep up to date. And that should be released, I want to say, by next week. And oh my gosh, my grand cat is meowing. What, you hear the meow? So cute. Anyways, I am going to be giving away 25 bracelets that I will show you what they look like. And I'll talk about that more on Instagram, but So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the merch coming. And I feel like we need a reminder that we're not villains. We need to be reminded that we're a part of a community that is growing and we're healing and we're all a part of this together and that we're not alone. So that is coming. And 10% of all proceeds from the merch right now will go to the CPSD Foundation until next year or whenever I can get this foundation in my heart up and running. But for now, CPSD is a beautiful foundation and I will be giving 10% of all proceeds from the merch to that. I hope you guys have a beautiful day. Thank you for all of your encouragement. I suck. Okay. I did not think that the website would take so long. I didn't think that the studio setup would take so long. I literally haven't responded to one DM or one email, but please know I've got a week where I can coming up where I can really sit down and do that. I'm sorry. But I don't want you guys to think that you're floating in my inbox. Like, and again, I want to be able to respond purposefully, and I just don't want to do a blanket response. I want to make sure I read through and connect with you via the email and respond the way I need to. So anyway, if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, email me. If you feel like you want to share your story, if you feel like you have something to offer, let's connect and we'll talk about it. So first episode of season 2 down. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining me and cheers till next time, friends.